This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
It's Bleck and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Bleck along with Adam Abdallah. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Bleck. We are here till 10 o'clock. If you want to join the conversation, the phone number is 312-332-3776. Memorial Day weekend has come and gone, Abdallah, and we now head into the summer. And thus, we are going to talk about one of our favorite summer items, summer movies, and the summer blockbuster. Because when we think about summer movies, you think about some of the biggest all-time movies ever coming out and the nostalgia that comes from going and seeing one of those films for the first time in the summertime. And that's something we're going to talk about here on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, it's a new segment we're going to start here on Bleck and Abdallah called No Wrong Answers.
No Wrong Answers!
No Wrong Answers. You know why there are no wrong answers?
There's no wrong answers.
Because it's subjective. It's a subjective question. We're not going to shame you for having a bad take. We're not going to shame you for having an easy take. What we're going to do is we're going to hear everybody and all... You know why? Because when you talk about... movies, when you talk about music, when you talk about TV shows, it's all subjective. My favorite movie, summer blockbuster movie growing up, is probably different than your movie. It's probably different than a movie who's someone who's 15 years older than me, and it's probably different than someone who's 15 years younger than me. And that's why, Chris, there are no wrong answers, because here on Bleck and Abdallah, good vibes only. We don't shame your opinion on things.
And no wrong answers.
And no wrong answers.
And so if you want to join the conversation tonight, 312-332-3776, or you can tweet at us, at Chris Bleck and at Adam A. Abdallah. The question is this. What's the best summer blockbuster of all time? There are so many good options. There are no wrong answers to this question. So please join us and join the fun here on ESPN 1000. So I have a list from Rotten Tomatoes of the best summer blockbusters of all time, Abdallah. Let me give you the top 10 on this list. Now, here's the thing to kind of remember with Rotten Tomatoes. They're doing this based on the audience score. So they're looking at the Rotten Tomatoes score. So some of these I found to be a little surprising, but here's the top 10 list. Number 10 on the Rotten Tomatoes list, A New Hope, 1977, Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Now, a lot of people like this one. This has been tweeted to us a few times. It's not my favorite because in 1977, I was negative 7 years old.
Well, the nostalgia hits you differently.
Yeah, the nostalgia hits me differently when I'm 7 years
old. Can't partake.
I don't even think my parents had met in 1977, so yeah.
But I would have to say, when you go back in time, of summer blockbusters...
Oh, yeah.
Like, even though we weren't there to experience it that summer in 77...
Of course.
I am aware of the way movie theaters looked and the lines outside the movie theaters.
There's nothing else to do. There's one movie in the theater.
A New Hope.
It cost a nickel.
Okay, so A New Hope's on the list. Star Trek in 2009 is number 9 on Rotten Tomatoes list.
Okay,
I would highly disagree with this. It was a decent movie, but I would not put it.
I know that there are no wrong answers, but that is a wrong answer.
Yeah, it's not great. Number 8 on the list, The Dark Knight. 2008, Christopher Nolan's Batman saga that takes place downtown Chicago. It's basically Heat, but in a Batman movie. That's what it is. If you watch Heat, the Michael Mann film, that's what The Dark Knight is, and the Joker was incredible. And so The Dark Knight is number 8. Number 7, Finding Nemo.
I like that movie. That's a good family summer movie.
From 2003.
Good
number 6, Up, another Pixar film from 2009.
I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
I can't watch Up anymore. It's
why?
If you don't cry at the beginning of Up, you have no soul. You're a vampire. You're a vampire person.
I agree with it.
You're a vampire person.
That's the saddest, first 15 minutes of a movie I've ever seen.
And what's been interesting, it's been funny. I'm going to say it's been funny. During the pandemic is all of these parents that have yet to experience these Pixar movies where a parent always dies and like it gets you some way and they're like, all right, about to watch Coco, or like, here we go, here's Up for the first time, and then the next tweet is like, what have I done?
Why did I watch this?
Like, even the new one where it's like, what's the new one, Onward or something like that? Yeah. It's like, yeah, Onward. The kid's got,
I saw the trailer, it's like Weekend at Bernie's, but with
kids. Yeah, the kid's got like a half-dad.
Yeah,
yeah,
and they like, parade him around.
Yeah, he's only got legs, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I've seen that film.
I guarantee you someone is either dead or dies.
Well, I think he was dead, and they bring him back to life.
Yeah, but then
I think that's the key. And then
he realizes that he's with them all. Yeah, you know what I mean. Still,
Number five on the list from Rotten Tomatoes, the all-time greatest, best summer blockbusters of all time. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776 is the phone number. Number five, Alien from 1979. That's a good film. Ridley Scott's Alien.
Yeah, good movie. Again, negative five.
Number four on the list, Toy Story 3 from 2010. It's a lot of Pixar on this list because number three is Inside Out from 2015,
a Pixar film. You know what it does? Like you mentioned, Rotten Tomatoes is a score, and if you look up Summer Blockbuster, it's probably anything that came out between Memorial Day and Labor Day. And so anything that is, and Pixar movies tend to rate very highly. Like, Pixar doesn't mess around and put out a bad movie. You know what I mean? So, like, you know you're going to see quality when you go to see a Pixar movie. And so because of that, those, I feel like, are rated higher.
Number two on the list, Mad Max Fury Road from 2015. That's an awesome movie, but I didn't consider, like, I don't associate summer with that film.
I don't think I saw it in the theater, so.
Like, I saw it at home after the fact because I knew it was up for awards. So I was like, I have to see this movie. But that movie's awesome. It really is. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever watched, like, the making of that movie.
Oh, it's a great movie.
It's incredible. Number one on the list, I think this is one that a lot of people would pick, E.T. from 1982.
Wow.
It's number one on the list, Rotten Tomatoes, E.T.
When I was a kid, I was scared of E.T. I remember being, like, very... Because when did it come out?
82.
82. Okay, so I remember watching it. I wasn't even born when it came out. I remember watching my mom, like, it was on TV or something. And my mom was like, watch this movie. And I couldn't have been more than, like, four. And I was scared of the alien. I mean, obviously,
he's friendly.
No, not in the end when he's all white and he's like he's dying and there he gets he's scary.
Don't spoil.
I have three movies and none of us. It came out 40 years ago.
Can I give you the other two that I thought?
I have
were
three
selected?
And we're not on that list. None of the three were on that list.
One is number 12 on the list, and that's Jaws from 1975.
Okay.
Steven Spielberg's.
Yeah, there's the other one.
I mean, how is that summer? That's a summer blockbuster right there. Jaws.
Yes.
You can't argue with that. I'm letting it breathe.
I know. I love it. It's good music.
And I'm guessing the one that you have on your list because you love this movie, Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park is my favorite movie. Goosebumps. Every time, I've seen this movie at least 100 times, at least. And every time she's looking down at that leaf, he turns her head, and that music hits, and the old dude says, "Welcome to Jurassic Park." It gets me every time. It gets misty every time. My other two.
Okay, give them to me.
My other two. So Jurassic Park is up there for sure. How do you not include the movie that epitomizes summer, that it's in the title, that today is our Independence Day?
See, and that's a good one. That's one that I've seen tweeted to us throughout the show. That is good.
Came out on July 2nd.
Hands down, that's a good one. And remember, Will Smith had a run where like summer was Will Smith blockbusters. Like that was his time. He came out with a movie like every single
year. That's all he did was summer blockbusters for a while. He was the guy. He still is the guy. He's the greatest entertainer of our generation. And then the other one, also a Will Smith movie. It came out in, again, another July 2nd release. It's like, oh, it's July 2nd again. I guess it's time for Will Smith to put out a movie. Men in Black.
Yeah, Smokey tweets us, Men in Black, 1997. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. We have a couple for Jurassic Park. We have a selection for Transformers. That was a good summer movie. I remember that, Transformers coming out.
Transformers
is good, yeah. Elgato says Terminator 2. Yeah, Judgment Day.
Ugh.
I'm with you on that one. No wrong answers.
No wrong answers at all.
How about Crazy Monkey here? Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Okay.
That is a summer movie.
Look.
Absolutely.
It's a good movie, and it came out in the summer. No wrong answers.
Tim with Mad Max Fury Road. Yes, that's there.
Put it on
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, Sean, do you have a favorite summer blockbuster from the past that you go to?
Yeah, pretty much Star Wars, because I was small enough. That was like one of the first movies I went to see. And then E.T. definitely hits home for me.
Star Wars and E.T. Like, those two are always in the list.
Too. It wasn't a blockbuster, but that was a big summer movie when it came out.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I remember seeing that.
It's a really good one. E.T. and Star Wars are on, like, all the lists. When you search the list, you get E.T., Star Wars, you get Jaws, mm-hmm. a Jurassic Park. Maybe you get something like The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. That's on almost all of the lists.
A lot of love for Independence Day on Twitter. A lot of love for Independence Day in the tweets. And same with, I was surprised at how many people liked Star Wars. Like, I get it. I understand. It's a huge movie. I understand it. The one that we talked about off the air when we were talking about this that I always assume is a summer movie, but it's not because it came out in March. I just saw it so many times in the theaters was The Matrix. I saw the Matrix, and also the first comic book movie I associated with a summer blockbuster, even though it came out in the beginning of May,
Spider-Man.
Yes. Yeah. The first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire. Yeah. That one was huge. I remember waiting in line for that movie, going at midnight, or like it was like 11:55 or whatever, going to see that. And then, let's see, Spacebar tweets us, Lethal Weapon 2 and Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates, yeah.
Pirates
was
huge.
No, I'm with you on that, yeah. Absolutely.
Pirates was very
Edgar
big.
Says, Abdal, way to ruin E.T. I agree. Spoiler alert.
I said
there,
when
champ.
He's dying, you don't know if he dies or doesn't die.
Well, I mean, listen, if he's old and frail and white and dying because he's white.
Mm. How does he get in that? How does he get in the bike then?
There's a movie we have yet to see referenced here. A fantastic summer movie.
Hmm.
Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Come on, Back to the Future?
No, but you, again, you and I are too young to have seen that
but
in
still,
the theater.
We know yes. it. We're like, yes. I will give respect to Star
yes.
Wars.
Absolutely.
I will give respect to E.T.
Absolutely.
And Jaws. I mentioned Jaws, 1975. I wasn't alive for 1975.
How many of these movies could you make now and still get the same...
Same pop.
Pop. Like, we don't... It costs so much money to
Does
make
E.T.
movies now.
Does E.T. work still?
And I think so. The problem is, though, like, a lot of Jurassic Park wouldn't work right now because I think the CGI wouldn't be, like the new ones aren't very good. Like, I went and when they released Jurassic Park, do you remember they re-released it for, like, the anniversary?
Yeah.
And it was over at Navy Pier in 3D. Went and saw that, of course. The weekend it opened. Like, it was a new release. It was awesome.
But yeah, Jurassic Park is kind of, like, watered down now because we've seen all of the species. And
well,
now they're combining the species for this one great species in the last two movies.
Well,
and it's like.
But also at the time, Steven Spielberg pulling that off with all the dinosaurs and all the stuff, you were
it
like, oh my God, they look so real. This is insane. And now it's just like, CGI can do anything now.
See,
man.
There's something too, because think of the movies we listed off: Star Wars, mm-hmm. E.T., Jaws, and Jurassic Park. The CGI wasn't what it is today.
Oh, imagine
but
Jaws
I prefer
with CGI.
The way that those movies look.
Of course. Imagine CGI Jaws with CGI now.
No, but you don't need. No, you don't want that. You want the
that's
mechanical thing in the water that's coming up and trying to eat the people. You want E.T. to be a little guy.
John with No H says,
right?
Empire Strikes Back. I was 11. We would ride our bikes to the theater in downtown Des Plaines. If we can go for 90 cents. Will Chase said he said Back to the Future. Will Chase said Back to the
Future. All
right,
Will. We got you. We got you on the board. All
Thumbs
right,
up,
perfect.
Will. Thumbs up.
Love it. I mean, this is the best song, right, of all of them?
No. Uh-huh.
You want to fight? Are you serious?
Nah, Jurassic Park. I like Jurassic Park. And look.
What if we play them together?
Well, you're not going to play this on the... You're not going to play the Jurassic Park on the radio. This was like a song.
Yeah, that's why it's better.
All right. What if you would have flipped them? What if instead of Welcome to Jurassic Park, instead of this music, you would have heard... Okay, so stop it. When I say Welcome to Jurassic Park, hit Power of Love. We'll see if this works.
Can you do it in the old guy voice?
Of course. Come on. I've seen enough times. So she's looking down at the leaf.
Yeah, she's looking down.
Lily's looking down at the leaf.
Do you want me to look down?
And she's looking down. No, because I don't want to touch your head. COVID. And he turns her head.
I'm hitting the... Okay.
And she's looking at it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you hit it. And he goes, Welcome to Jurassic Park.
No, I don't think that works.
Hold on. Welcome to Jurassic Park. Not the same.
What about the Jaws music? Can I try it again?
Welcome to Jurassic Park. No,
it's a little creepy.
Maybe for the T-Rex scene.
Yeah.
It works for the T-Rex scene. You got the little water and you go.
The Dark Knight? Shakes. You want to try The Dark Knight?
Welcome to Jurassic Park. It's a little too upbeat.
Now Velociraptors are coming after you.
No, run! They're out!
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Okay, so you were saying you were doing the old guy from Jurassic Park impersonation.
Welcome to Jurassic Park. I just imagine while this is playing, a brontosaurus with sunglasses
flying by on a DeLorean,
skateboarding through one of those hoverboards, and it's like two raptors sharing one of those fountain sodas. In the soda shoppy.
Okay, do that same thing, but give me Sean Connery in The Rock saying welcome to The Rock.
You mean welcome to Jurassic Park?
No, to The Rock.
Oh.
That's what he says in the movie.
Welcome to The Rock. It doesn't have the same feel.
No, the E.T. music doesn't work there.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I feel like old guy, Jurassic Park, the Dark Knight one kind of worked the best.
Old bearded guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Even this one was a little too intense. I feel like the one that worked the most was Jaws, because then you know, like, right, the T-Rex is coming.
Give it to me again.
Welcome to The Rock.
Is that really how he sounds?
Who?
The little old guy from
Welcome
Jurassic Park?
To Jurassic Park, yeah. He says it just like that. He looks up too, and he gets like he's all smiles because he's like these two paleontologists. All I needed was the paleontologist's approval. That's what the lawyer told me. Get two paleontologists to come in here and check it off, and then you need like a life guy. What was Jeff Goldblum's profession?
Stud.
Yeah. Well, besides
grade age stud,
chest hair aficionado,
baller,
wearing all black in the jungle.
What else do you want from him?
I don't know.
Nick tweets us Indiana Jones. We were talking about summer blockbusters. What's the best summer blockbuster? No wrong answers. Everyone has a good opinion on this. So Nick Garling says Indiana Jones. Love that summer in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Public Enemies is an option. The Avengers.
Avengers is huge. I mean, that makes...
Another one for The Matrix.
Those don't get highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes, but The Avengers make all the money. All of it.
Yeah, of course. Oh, Edgar with the good one. How about The Fast and the Furious?
Oh, come on.
Franchise. Yeah.
Come on. What did we... There was a day we went to go see... It was like a double feature, and we went to see something.
The Hangover 3 and like Fast Five.
It was like you
that was
and
our
me.
Date.
Friedel showed up halfway through the movie.
Yeah, and we got so mad at him because like, why did you... Like, we told him the plan.
What's going on?
We said, Nick, the plan is this. We are going to see both films back to back. No ifs, ands, or buts. This is the time we're meeting.
We're going to see Hangover 3, and then we're going to see Fast 5.
In between, we're going to go eat Chipotle,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going back to the theater
back
and seeing the second film.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll meet you guys. And of course, misses the first film and comes walking in halfway through Hangover 3.
Like a kid that walks in the middle of a movie. What's going on?
What did I miss?
Where?
Well, they're hungover, Nick. Again.
What happened this time?
Nick, did you see the second movie? Because this is the exact same movie as the second movie, but it's now the third movie.
Why is Chang back?
Because he's back, Nick.
Why is there a monkey?
But...
All right. And if you've got us on mute and you're or if you've got us, if you've got the game on mute and you're listening to us,
yeah.
and you're watching the Cubs to win the World Series.
Oh, I see. On ESPN,
Nick will be featured here soon.
Yeah, he will. He'll
you're
be
gonna
nervous.
Get, you're going to get nervous.
Nervous pacing.
You're nervous.
Hands in the sweatshirt.
Back and forth, Nick.
Nervous as Cubbies.
Yeah.
You're going to lose the World Series Game 7 against the Indians.
Yeah.
2016. They don't. They win.
Oh, I love the Fast
and
Furious
delay.
Movies. The Fast and Furious movies are so good.
Yeah, of course they are. Welcome to The Rock.
Hold on. What do they say in Fast? It's not Fast 5. I don't know which one he goes. This is Brazil!
No.
doesn't work.
It doesn't work. The E.T. music only works
for E.T. That's why you have music people for movies.
Yeah, right.
There's like a music director for each movie. Because if you
random.
Just did like a roulette wheel of music, you could get weird stuff like, this is Brazil! That kind of fits. I'm not going to lie. I could do some drag race into the Star Wars theme.
Kind of works. Did you see the story on ESPN.com today about Tua Tagovailoa?
I did.
Isn't it interesting that before the NFL draft...
Don't pat us on the back.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm just saying a lot of the media, there was talk about Tua is not going to be any good.
Mm-hmm.
Should people draft him? I don't know. Did he prove it enough at Alabama? And then after the draft, all of the stuff that you see on ESPN.com, on Football Outsiders, on Pro Football Talk, all these different places promoting that, hey, you know what team might be a bit of a surprise this year? The Miami Dolphins. You know what quarterback might step in and be a stud from day one? Might be Tua Tagovailoa. A long article on ESPN.com today about Tua Tagovailoa and about how Miami is a Dolphins town. And Tua might become Miami's biggest star.
Well, I mean, look, if you know anything about Tua Tagovailoa and his story in Alabama, the kid has everything as far as off-the-field presence. He's got charisma. He couldn't be a nicer guy. He's all about family and all that kind of stuff. Like, he, you know, brought his brother over to Alabama. His whole family was brought over to Alabama. He's always made every decision about everything he's ever done with his family. His dad brought him up to be the football player. There's many stories about him working with his dad and how his dad would only let him focus on football. He wouldn't even let him drive because he wanted him, while he was driving, to be looking at the playbooks and trying to figure out that kind of stuff. So the kid is made to be the front of an NFL franchise, right? And what better one than the oceanfront Miami with Dan Marino, you know, with Dwayne Wade, with DJ Khaled's going to be at games, like all that, like, you know, he's going to be a superstar in Miami. Like, but now he has to be good. He has to deliver. You know, you can't have the picture of Tua throwing an interception and hanging his head, walking away outside of the stadium, or walking, you know, to the sideline of the stadium. He's got to perform. I don't know if his injury is going to keep him from performing well, but ultimately, as far as what you want, as far as charisma and confidence and like that good kind of cockiness, where it's not like I'm like, you know, where it's not the He's not a bad guy when it comes to cockiness. He's not
Johnny Manziel.
Yes, he's not Johnny Manziel.
Did I nail that?
You nailed it perfectly.
Okay.
He's got the confidence and the charisma of Johnny Manziel, but he doesn't come off as Manziel-like. He's
a better Tebow.
He's likable. He's very likable. That's a great comparison, except for his on the field play.
Yeah, he's a better Tebow.
Yes, he's a very good Tebow. He's an excellent Tebow.
You know, this is a topic I've had in the stack of topics for like a month and a half,
mm-hmm.
and then things keep popping up, so we never get to it. But if you have to think back to in the history of sports, there are great franchises that go away because they're no good anymore. But like, the moment they become good again. Their merch sells. They become a highlighted team across the nation, and they become one of those teams that everyone talks about. The perfect example would be the Oakland Raiders, right? The Raiders for years were the best team in the AFC, one of the coolest teams to follow
for sure,
as their gear and everything else. The Al Davis Raiders from back in the day, right? They win a Super Bowl, all that stuff. Then they go through a long drought, and then they come back up with Chucky, with John Gruden. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, yeah, remember, like, the Raiders are a bit of a superpower when it comes to fandom in the NFL. I feel the same way about the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins were one of the best teams in the AFC for many decades. They were in the running with the Steelers and the Raiders back in the day, in the 70s, right? You know, the undefeated season. They were good in the 80s as well. They've had some down years. But, like, of any of the teams in the NFL that could turn it around as far as gather the national audience, as far as, like, you put them on prime time, they had a past, they have a history, they have cool uniforms, cool helmets, they're in a cool city. Like, Miami, if it hits, they will be a big-time player in the National Football League. You know, it's one of those things, like, Buffalo is starting to come back up. Buffalo doesn't have the same pizzazz as Miami does.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know what
look,
I'm saying? Like,
Miami's like, they feel like a Hollywood type team. You know, where if it's you have one of those star things. Power, you've got, I mean, Dan Marino, the star power there. You know, if you look at the other teams, look at Wade, LeBron, Bosh, all that stuff that did in Miami. I mean, being down in Miami for the Super Bowl earlier this year, which seems like a decade ago. But being down in Miami for the Super Bowl, like that city wants a good football team again. Like that city is clamoring for a good football team. And like it's such a cool town to be down in, and to have a good football team that can carry you during, you know, the winter months would be great.
Well, you know, it's like in the NBA, we always say the Knicks and the Bulls, if they could only get back to the top, the league would be better.
Yeah.
Like the Miami Dolphins being good in the NFL, that's good for the NFL. You know, it's like if the Steelers are no good, that wouldn't be good for the NFL. The Packers were no good. We would like it. Bears fans would like it. The NFL is better when the Packers are a good team, when the Bears are a good team, the Cowboys are a good team. I feel like the Dolphins are the one team on the outside looking in that's like, you know, if they were a power each and every year, that would be better for the NFL. Chris Black, Adam Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000 in the ESPN app. NBA backstory coming up next. We take a look at game one of the 2001 NBA Finals. Allen Iverson goes off.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Thank you to Sean Davis for producing tonight's show. Download our podcast, Black and Abdallah, Black and Abdallah section on the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Kendrick Perkins on First Take yesterday had this to say about James Harden and Stephen Curry.
When you look at the body of work that James Harden has put in since the day he stepped foot in Houston, in the city of Houston, it's crazy. Even before Mike D'Antoni, James Harden was averaging 25 plus a night and carrying the Rockets on his back. And when you think about James Harden, he's going to go down as the best, one of the best scorers in NBA history. Now, let's compare the two. James is a better scorer than Steph Curry. James is a better rebounder than Steph Curry. James is a better facilitator than Steph Curry. Even in James Harden MVP season, even in his MVP season in 2018, when he averaged 36 points a game, in my eyes, it still wasn't his best season. His best season was in 2016 when he averaged 29 points, 8 rebounds, and dished out 11 assists. And might I tell you, he led the league in assists that year. And guess what, Max? James Harden has 4 50-point triple-doubles. That's the most in NBA history. And guess what else, Max? He has one 60-point triple-double, which is he's the only player in NBA history with that. So by that being said, when I'm looking at all-around and the all-around player, the skill set and who brings more to the table, it's James Harden. And it's not. To me, it's
so Harden and Steph are both available. You're taking Harden to start your team.
It's proven. When James Harden left Oklahoma City, he, by the way, he won Sixth Man of the Year playing with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. And as soon as he stepped foot into the Rockets franchise, he made that franchise relevant again, Max. And I'm not discrediting Steph.
James Harden is a great player.
Hall of Famer, but he's a better all-around player than Steph Curry.
He's a better player.
He's a better player.
But you just...
Abdallah, help me out here. What is going on with Kendrick Perkins there? Max?
I don't think he's... I don't think he's wrong.
What? Are you serious?
If I just...
Listen, they've both been six-time All-Stars. Stephen Curry was a scoring champ in 2016.
Okay.
He's a three-time NBA champion. He's a two-time NBA MVP. Six-time All-NBA player.
Look at their per 36
minutes. If you look
at
James
per
Harden,
36 minutes.
Let me give you the rundown on Harden here. Two-time scoring champ, six-time All-NBA player. He is a MVP in 2018, eight-time All-Star, Sixth Man of the Year. He was an All-Rookie of the Year. He's been an assist champ as well. Curry has been a steals champ. So you're saying, and Curry was also an all-rookie player as well. So you're saying if you just want to look at per 36, what do you want to point out? You're going to tell me that James Harden's better?
He's a better scorer.
Okay. Who would you rather have on your team? That's what Max asked. And it, like, seemed to break Kendrick Perkins.
Well, he asked
him. Did you hear him? He like,
Perkins said
for
something,
a second there, he, like, broke.
Perkins said something about, and then Max said something about.
Triple-doubles and 50 points.
Well, not triple-doubles and 50 points. He said something about to start a franchise moving forward. How?
Yeah, and he said that he put the Rockets on the map.
Well.
Wait, you're telling me that Steph Curry, the Warriors were a winning franchise before Steph Curry was there?
No. But Steph Curry's had a lot of injuries he's had to deal with.
Okay, so that's what you're leaning on?
I'm leaning on...
He's been
on...
healthy as of late, for the most part. Hand injury this year, but...
Look, I think you're
back,
nitpicking
ready
if
to go.
You try to pick between the two, right?
Well, you have to. This is First Take. You can't say both on First Take. On First Take, you have to give a take.
What a...
So the question is...
What about First Take, your take?
Your take, First Take. I would say... Listen, I love James Harden. But I think it's crazy to just say that automatically you would take James Harden over Stephen Curry.
I didn't say I would automatically take
him. Here's how it comes down, right?
I'm saying if I look at the numbers,
everyone's going to point to.
If I need a scorer, I'm taking James Harden first.
Who's better in the clutch?
Probably Steph Curry. Here's
something that, right? Because Steph Curry was a steals champ. And everyone's going to point to both being bad on defense. Steph Curry at least
tries.
Steph Curry's
not bad on defense.
He tries.
Yeah, he does. He puts in the effort.
He is not great defensively, but sometimes in the NBA, all you need is someone to give effort defensively, and it helps the other four players who are on the court with you to figure it out. James Harden doesn't give effort most of the time, and that's an issue.
All right, fine. Then Steph Curry.
I mean, he has a higher usage rate.
Second take,
my take, your take, you're going with James Harden.
No, I'll deal with Curry. I don't.
So now you're flipping. So now you've got a second take double try, and you're going with Stephen Curry.
What am I drafting for the future of my franchise, or am I taking a guy for a game?
Oh, right now, today.
A guy for a game?
We're putting our shoes on. We're going to play today.
Steph.
I think I would take Steph, too.
But if I'm looking to build...
Okay, let's do this.
If I'm looking to build... I'm probably taking Harden.
Let's go full circle, right? Okay. Everyone's obsessed with The Last Dance still. We're still debating Isaiah Thomas and Michael Jordan.
Oh, man.
Okay? We're still doing that.
He said it on a podcast long time ago.
So let's take that logic and let's look at these two individuals. Who's the guy you would rather play with? Who's the guy you'd rather hang with? Who's the guy you'd rather be on your team when you're fighting for a championship? I think the answer around the league would be Stephen Curry, 100%.
Am I me or am I Kevin Durant?
Yeah, you're anyone. You can be KD.
Then it's not Steph.
Well, I mean, I have a feeling that Kevin Durant would not like the shine that James Harden gets in Houston either.
Yeah. Probably Steph. Steph seems like he's more fun. I don't know. I don't. What's the show called where you just go, I don't care? Like,
that show is not on ESPN
television. If I'm playing a game right now, if you and I are going to go suit up and we're going to go play right now and we can play, I'll take Steph. If I'm building a franchise moving forward, I'm probably going to take Harden.
And before we go, remember to support Sylvie in his journey fighting cancer and help others facing the same fight. You can purchase your Sylvie Strong t-shirts at obviousshirts.com. All proceeds go to the V Foundation. The shirts are for men and women, and one is designed by Sylvie's son, Mason. It's awesome. Check it out. They're on sale now at obviousshirts.com. I'll be back.
Raised like $20,000.
Really?
Like that. Yeah, they're
That's
close,
awesome.
Man.
That's really cool. I'll be back with Cap tomorrow. Abdallah will be Waddle and Sylvie. We'll talk to you then.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.